I was just thinking on the words of that song that we sang. Even in the valley, God is still good. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you happy that no matter what this world brings against us, no matter what kind of crazy things are happening out there, no matter what sort of issues come upon us, that God is still on the throne and that He's good? I'm excited about that. I wanted to speak with you today. This was a message that originally I had planned for the first Sunday of the month, but we haven't been able to get together here lately, so I'm going to give this to you now because it's still good truth from the Word of God. And oh, by the way, I see Brother Ashby's here. Brother, happy anniversary. I know we didn't get a chance to tell it to you myself at the time, so good to see you here. Happy anniversary to y'all. Well, I'll give you the introduction here. If you guys want to go ahead and head over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's going to be the first verse that we come to this morning. You know, it's 2019 now. And as I was saying, this is the first Sunday that I've got to spend with y'all. I know y'all got together just for a little bit there at the beginning of the month. And you know, something happens around this time every year. Something happens around January, the new year comes about, and people start to make what they call resolutions. Now, this far into the month, some of y'all have already started and stopped on those resolutions, I assure you. I mean, I had a resolution not to eat so many cookies, and that didn't quite pan out for me. I've already failed. Thanks, Jamie. Blaming you. Putting it on you on that one. It's not her fault. I ate them anyway. So anyway, we've got resolutions that we all like to try to make changes in our lives, right, to address those things which need some attention, right, things which we say, you know what, I've been needing to get this taken care of. Well, if you may be wondering that term resolution, a resolution is, if you look it up in the dictionary, it is defined as a firm decision either to do or not to do something. It is a firm decision to do something or not to do something. Now, often our resolutions, they involve either accomplishing something or changing some sort of behavior, whether it be not eating so many cookies. Whether it be, you know, I'm going to get the attic renovated one of these days. I'm going to get that done, you know. Don't help me, honey. Don't help me. Goodness gracious. So that's the resolutions we often see, right? So what I wanted to talk to you about this morning, though, is that often these resolutions, they look at changing things that are often of this world, though. And specifically, I want to speak to you this morning on what I like to call spiritual resolutions, changes which we need to make in our spiritual lives, in our relationship with our God, in our relationship with the church, and how close we are to the Lord, and in the way in which we allow the Lord to live in us and through us. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. We look at the new year as an opportunity to start over, to start fresh. And I want you to, as we talk about these things, I want us not to look at this new year and simply as a new year. I don't want us to be taking a look at this coming year, what am I going to do in 2019? Instead, I want us to take the eye and the focus off of the year and put that focus on eternity. Not what am I going to do in 2019, what am I going to do for Christ for eternity? Eternal rewards, eternal consequences. That's what we're talking about. If you would, please join me as we pray for the message. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord. Lord, I submit myself unto you, Father, a vessel, Lord, that I pray that you would use. Lord, separate me from myself, for, Lord, you know that I have nothing to give that you don't give me, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you'd guide my words, that you would give me understanding and help me to accurately speak your word, Lord. I pray that you'd give each and every one of us ears that are open to hear, Lord, that we'd be paying attention and listening and focusing on what you have to say to us. Lord, I pray that we'd have hearts, Lord, that are open to receive your word. Lord, hearts that are soft to your word, not a stony heart. Lord, hearts that are soft towards one another, Lord, hearts that are soft to the truth of your word. Father, we pray today that you'd be with the world that we live in, Lord, for we know that you've told us in your word that things are going to continue to get worse, and Lord, we're beginning to see that day and day, and it's something that has been upon my heart and my shoulders lately. Lord, we pray for the loss of the world, for we know that the greatest thing that we could pray for, Father, is salvation. And Lord, not only so that they would be blessed by being saved from the condemnation that we so rightly deserve for our sin, but Lord, so that you would be glorified in the saving of those who are sinners, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd use your church in a mighty way. Lord, that you'd be glorified in all that we do. Father, I pray for the message this morning, Lord. Help me to speak it accurately and honestly, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there's a couple of things that we need to keep in mind if we're going to be successful, folks. If we want to be successful in keeping our spiritual resolutions, and might I say this might even help you day by day to accomplish any resolutions that you may have for the coming year, but especially those things of a spiritual nature, there are three things that I want us to focus on here. The first thing I want to tell you is I want you to forget the past, all right? Forget the past. That's step number one. If you want to accomplish anything moving forward, you first have to let go of the past. And let me explain that for a second here. Our past and the things that we've done, the things we've said, the people who we were yesterday and on back, I kind of think of them as the old Charles Dickens Christmas Carol, the ghosts of Marley and Marley when they come up and they've got the chains on them and they're shackled down by the things that they've said and done. That's a lot how sin is in our lives, our past sins before we come to the Lord. If we focus on who we were, if we concern ourselves with the failures that we've had in the past, the things that I've been trying to do this, I've been trying to change this, but I have to keep failing. If we keep focusing on the failures, if we keep focusing on the past, if we keep focusing on the regrets that we have, then just like that illustration I gave you of Marley and Marley there in the Christmas Carol, they're like a chain that's going to weigh you down, that's going to bind you, that's going to stop you from being able to do what Christ has called or convicted us to do, the people, the men and women of God that we've been convicted to be. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to stumble and fall and trip over and make mistakes. But folks, if we want to be accomplishing our spiritual resolutions, if we want to be who we're called to be, the first thing we've got to do is let go of who we were, so that we can be who God has called us to be. Because each and every one of us, we've got to look and say, you know, Lord, I haven't always been the man or the woman that you made me to be. There was a time in each one of our lives, everyone who's ever come to God can say, Lord, I know that the work that you begun in me, you will complete. And Lord, I know that you are still working on me. And Lord, I know that you're going to be faithful to complete it. But first, we've got to be able to acknowledge that that work has begun. So let go of who we were, of what you've done. I want to give you a scripture here there in 2 Corinthians, if you're there with me already, chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. Let me read these for you here. It says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Catch this next part, folks. This is the pivotal part of this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. I want you to note that. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation. I want to talk about that, what that means. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now that means there's one very strong point that I want to make, and then there's a secondary that I think we often miss. The first thing here is that anyone who's in Christ is a new creature. That is why we have to let go of who the old man was. When we come to the Lord and we baptize, right? That's something that we do as Baptists. The reason that we do that, and I've put this out many times, is that water's not special. It's not magical. It's a representation of a change. It's saying, Lord, who I was is dead and gone. And I rise now in the newness of life, just like Christ. Father, you've buried those things. Let me ask you this. If that's the case, why is it that so often we get wrapped up on who we were, the mistakes that we've made? If we know that those things are buried and gone, God says, I'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. I'll remember them no more. If Almighty God has said that those things are gone, we too must say that those things are gone and be that new creature. That doesn't mean that that new creature isn't going to make mistakes. Doesn't mean that you're not still growing. You're now a babe again, and you're learning to walk in the things of God. But you've got to first understand that Those things are dead and gone. Leave them in the past. Leave who you were in the past and focus on who God's called you to be today. Today. That's the first thing. The second thing I want us to focus on there is what it means to be called to the ministry of reconciliation. It says that we are called to the ministry of reconciliation, for God was reconciling us to God the Father. What that means is that there's been some sort of an offense, and that offense is caused by us and our sin to God. So we've been separated from Him. There's been damage to the relationship. But through Jesus Christ, He's chosen to reconcile, to bring together, to forgive offense, to let it go, and to bring us back to Him. And what is the ministry or the word of reconciliation that He's given unto us? To share that good news, that gospel with our brothers and our sisters, to share that with the world, to let them know that Almighty God has said you can be forgiven and He wants to reconcile you back to Him. The question that we all have to ask ourselves when we receive that word is, do we desire to be reconciled back to the Father? Because the Father's made it quite clear, He desires us to be reconciled. We also, though, have to. It takes two parties, both of us. And so we must go to our brothers and our sisters in love, those who we do know and those who we don't. We must tell them of the love of God. We must show the love of God. We must forgive. We must show them what that is, to show them what God has done and what God desires. Now, speaking on this passage now, I still want to talk to you some more about forgetting the past. Now, perhaps your spiritual resolutions, they involve this year. Maybe you've decided that, you know what? I don't know the Lord very well, but I'd like to. Maybe I want to get close to God. Maybe I'm tired of hearing about God, but I want to feel God. I want Him in my life and powerfully directing me. Maybe that's a resolution that you've made. Maybe today you are someone who knows God. Maybe you've had that moment when you said, God, I'm yours. Help me, mold me. I am the clay. You are the potter. Father, use me. Maybe that's your desire, that you would be more malleable, might I say, more able to be molded by the Father, listening and able to be used by Him. Maybe that is the spiritual resolution that you've got for this year. Maybe you've decided to be a better husband or a better father, better wife, better mother in the eyes of the Lord. Maybe there are things that you say, you know, there's some things I've neglected and I really want to get that right. Not just for my relationship with God, but also for those who I've been entrusted to. I want them to see that I'm a righteous man, I'm a righteous woman. The testimony, Lord, help me be that. Maybe you've said, God, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life, but Lord, I've done a lousy job of showing it to the people around me as far as the people I work with, the people I interact with. Lord, I haven't really gone out there and shown other beggars where I found bread. Lord, help me to be better at that. Lord, use me in a powerful way. Maybe these are the things on your heart. But I've got to tell you, the first step in all of that is you've got to be able to let go and forget the past failures. You've got to be focused on what God's going to do. And the reason that you've got to let go of the past failures, and this is one of the key things here, we get so wrapped up in what am I going to do for Christ? What am I going to do? How am I going to change? But here's something that the believer has to understand. It's not you. It's not you. It's not me. When we go out to do the work of the kingdom, it is Christ. It is Almighty God working through us. We are just a tool in the Master's hand. And so you've got to stop worrying about how you failed, because I promise you, you and I will fail. One of the first things I said as a pastor when I came here is I said, folks, you're going to have high expectations of me. The man who I am now coming up to replace has been a pastor for 50-something years. And I told you, I said, there's going to be things that you think I do differently. There's going to be things that I don't do as well. There's no way I could fill those shoes, not in a million years. But what did I tell you? I said, but trust that Almighty God is the one you put your faith in, not just the man. It's not the man. It's not me that's going to accomplish works in this church. It's not you that's going to accomplish the work of God in your life. It's Almighty God. And so you've got to be able to say, God, I'm letting go. I'm not worried about failing because I'm not looking at me to accomplish it. Lord, I'm looking at you to accomplish it. Help me. Do it through me, Lord. Use me. That's what your heart's got to be focused on, folks. And that's why it's so important that you forget your past and let it go. That's the thing to focus on. Now, the verse that we just read there, 2 Corinthians, I already told you how it talks about letting go and becoming a new creature, but I also want you to notice something very powerful, a part of that verse that I tried to emphasize upon. Notice that it says, all things are of God. Folks, you've got to see yourself as that. When we come to the Lord, we become a royal priesthood. That's the title that it gives us, a royal priesthood. And you've got to realize that all things must be of God. You've got to live for God. Trust in His Word and know that whatever it is that you're going to try to accomplish, as long as they are with the Word of God, as long as the things that you desire are God's will, not your own, that He will see them through. That's the thing. Why? Because the will of God is unquestionable, sovereign. All you have to ask is this the will of God? That's the only question to be asked. Once you get that figured out, you're good to go. Go forward and do what God's called you to do. Now, so step one there, and I think I've driven that home, is that step one is forget your past. Now, this may be confusing, but step two goes kind of hand in hand with that. Step one, forget your past. Step two, don't focus on the future. Now, you may be confused by that. You're thinking, wait a minute, what? I'm not supposed to focus on my past. I'm not supposed to focus on my future. That doesn't leave a whole lot to put the emphasis on there, preacher. Let me explain a little bit here. Before I get into it, let me give you a verse from Scripture so that you can see where I'm going with this, because it's not important that you hear what I have to say or hear wisdom from me, but that we always look at the Scripture and say, God, what do you say? So let's see where we see this principle in the Word of God. I'm going to give you two Scriptures here quickly. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. I'll just read it so that we make sure we get through all this with the time that we have here. But the verse says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away? For that ye might say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." One more verse on this, a quick one here from Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring." Now, if you were unable to be here this morning for Brother Keith's Sunday school lesson, my friends, you missed a blessing. He brought something important out. And Brother Keith, we appreciate the study that you do. I really enjoyed that this morning. He brought something out in his message, and he said that everything of this world fadeth away. Kings, kingdoms, riches, glory, your reputation, all the things that we think are important, all the things that burden us with this life, it's all going to pass. It's all going to pass. Stop worrying about what so-and-so thinks of you. Stop worrying about what do they say. Stop worrying about your building a kingdom up for yourself. It's all going to pass. And that's what's being driven out right here in the verses that we just read. What does it say? It says, what is your life but a vapor? Why do we focus on things of today when eternity is what we should be focused upon? This life, no one knows the day or the hour that you're going to die. No one knows these things. I want you to see here, the reason I say don't focus on the future, and let me give you a little side thought here. I want to make sure I'm clear. I'm not saying don't make plans and don't think about tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying at all. That would be bad advice, right? We definitely want to think about our future and make some plans for it. But what I want to drive home is don't focus on that. Don't make that the focus of your life, is accomplishing the things that you've planned, right? And the reason for that is because you do not want to focus and put your efforts and your heart and your desires on a tomorrow that may never come. God has called each and every one of us to be the children of God, to be the sons of God. He's called each and every one of us to be that royal priesthood. He's called each and every one of us to be the man or the woman that He's called us to be, not so that you can be it tomorrow, but today. Often it's said during invitations that today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to come to the Lord. Well, my friends, that's absolutely true, but you know what else is true? Now is the time to change things if you've got things that need changed. Now is the time to forgive if you're having a hard time forgiving. Now is the time to be the man or woman that you've been called to be. Why? Because tomorrow may not be. That's a truth. So don't focus on the future. Forget the past. Leave it there. But also don't focus on tomorrow. That's foolish thoughts of man. We're not building a kingdom. We're working for the kingdom. Amen? I also want to talk to you about a couple other things with this topic here. Don't wait to begin. Maybe right now you're thinking to yourself, you know, some things I want to get done this year, some spiritual resolutions, so to speak, and these are things that I myself do from time to time. I look and I've had some of these very examples. I've said, you know what, I want to go back through the movies that we've got over the past couple of months. There's one or two things as I watch them that I really thought were okay, but now I'm not so sure. Maybe you want to go through those. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some other area of your life where you say, you know, I think we could do better here. I want you to notice something. Maybe you're saying, you know, I want to join in a ministry at the church here someday soon. I think I'd like to try to do that. Maybe you're thinking, I'd like to go soul winning, spend more time in the Word. Well, I want to share with you something that I heard when I was subbing at Victory Baptist Academy. I happened to be there. They had a chapel service, and you know, they said something, just one little thing that really stuck with me out of that message. And they said to the kids, and I thought this was outstanding. They said, "You are today becoming who you will be tomorrow. You are today becoming who you will be tomorrow." So don't wait till tomorrow to be what God's called you to be. Be it today, because what you are today will impact who you are tomorrow. In other words, if you feel God's called you to do something, if you feel God's called you to make a change in your life, if you acknowledge that God has called you to be a royal priesthood, to do the things of God, then don't just sit there and say, you know, I'm going to have to get to that one day. Do it now. And much to my shame, I have to admit, and I think that I'm not the only person who's going to have to acknowledge that this is the case. I've been where you are. I've listened to great people preach to me. I've heard good messages that stirred my soul. And I've said, you know, you're hitting me right now in the heart. God, I got to deal with that. And I said, you know, I'm going to change that. I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to try and be a better husband, Lord. Help me be that. I've said, Lord, I want to be a better pastor. Father, help me be a better man for you. And then there's been times whenever I sit in the church and I listen to a message of God, or I'll be studying my Bible, and it'll hit me again, and I'll be thinking, man, I'm still struggling with the same things that I struggled with 6 months ago. Or, you know, Lord, you convicted me on that, and somehow it seems like I haven't got to it. Either I got busy or something came up, or I said, you know, I'll take care of it later. And I sit there and go, Lord, why didn't I take care of that back then when you first stirred me? Folks, let me implore you, don't wait till tomorrow if there's something on your heart. If the Lord's pulling at you, whether it be to come down for salvation because he's saying you need to get right, I want to reconcile you to me, or maybe he's just saying, hey, there's some things that aren't consistent, and I love you. I want you to fix these things. Listen to him. Do it today. Today. That's where the focus should be, not on tomorrow. Finally, I want to go to our last step here, and that is, so first of all, forget the past. Don't focus on the future. Lastly, and this kind of goes hand in hand with the one I just gave you, is be perfect in the present. Be perfect in the present. Now, you may be wondering what that means and what exactly I'm trying to say by be perfect in the present. We often look at the word perfect or perfection inaccurately. It means whole, complete, missing nothing. And usually when we speak of perfection, especially in the Word of God, we're speaking of God himself, because nothing else is perfect. But we, being the children of God and being made in his image, we are called to be perfect. And here I want you to put the word perfect, and I want you to put in there this understanding. Look at that as the word holy. I want you to look at that as holy. All right? Let me share you some scripture here. Matthew 5:48 says this, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." 1 Peter 1:15-16, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Finally, Leviticus 20, 7 and 8. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. So the steps that I want us to take here for our spiritual resolutions is first and foremost, yes, forget the past, forget who you were, so that you can go forward. Remember, because when you become that new creature, we walk in the newness of life. Second thing, don't focus on the future. Don't focus on the future. Whatever God's called you to do, do it now. As far as I go and the resolutions that I made with the losing a little bit of weight, I need to stop eating cookies today, not tomorrow. Same thing with your spiritual resolutions. You can't go, yeah, I'm going to get to that. Well, I'll start that up here on Monday. I'll start doing what God called me. No, do it now. Do it now. But also, I want you to notice here that when I say be perfect, be holy, if we're going to accomplish our spiritual resolutions, if we're going to be what who God called us to be, we've got to be holy today. You see, we can't accomplish God's will our way. That will never work. We can't think that we can manhandle or just grapple the things of this life. We've got to be able to say, no, Lord, I'm going to be holy today. Help me to do that. Now, what does that mean? Well, for once, it means that we need to be going to the Lord to pray without ceasing. We need to go to Him for direction, everything that we say or do. Not allow our foolish hearts to tell us to say or to do something which isn't God's will. Pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean to be on your knees 24/7 without stop. When it says to pray without ceasing, praying is speaking of going to the Father. And without ceasing means in all things. In other words, everything that you say or that you do, any decision that you make, anything that comes up, anything you're dealing with, go to Him about it. Don't think that you or I know best. Say, God, what would you have me do with this? Right now, today. And if we do that, then we will be able to be perfect in the present. Not worrying about who we were before, worrying about who we are now. Every moment, God, what would you have for me? Give me wisdom, give me discernment, Lord. Help us with these spiritual resolutions for the coming year. So in closing here, let me say a quick summary. Forget the past. Don't focus on the future and be perfect in the present. Be perfect in the present. Now, of all the worthwhile resolutions that we can make, I pointed to this, Brother Keith pointed to this morning. If there's any change spiritually that needs to be made, my friends, it is salvation. It's coming to the Lord. It's coming to Him to make Him the King and the Lord of your life. And when we do that, He's promised to wash us of all sin and iniquity. He's promised to take us unto His own. He's promised to reconcile us to Himself. Folks, if you haven't done that yet, if there's anyone here who can't say for absolute certain that you've come to the Father, that you've been forgiven, that you're a child of the King, then might I say that that is the resolution that you need to have. And like the message, don't wait till tomorrow. Come now. Come today. Do what God's called you to do today. If the Spirit is pulling upon you, then here in a moment, the congregation's going to sing. And when they do, I invite you to come, and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know that you're a child of the King.